Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. We'll let everybody get standing that wants to stand. Titus 1 verse 5, the Bible says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." You can be seated this morning. Paul is giving instruction to Titus in this chapter. If you look in the latter part of the chapter, he deals with the qualifications of a pastor. A lot of times through the scripture, the word bishop, elder, and pastor are used interchangeably. Now you have to watch that word elder. Sometimes the word is referring to the pastor, and sometimes it's referring to somebody that is older. So you have to pay attention to the text in the context of how to read that. And so he gives and that instruction on to ordain or to set aside the pastor for the churches that are here in Crete. As a matter of fact, he talks about holding fast in verse 9. The faithful word is thou hast been taught. And he does that. He talks about the faithful word because of those that have went out in deception. Those that were deceivers and those that were deceiving. And well, we have those today. Amen. They rest and they twist the word of God. That's a problem we've got today. And the great problem that we have, Brother Jeff touched on it in Sunday school when he talked about the wheat among the tares. The very first problem, as you read in that parable, it said, while men slept. And that's what happened. That's how the enemy was able to come in, was while men slept. You know what's happened to the church today? While men slept. You know how false doctrine has got in? Men have slept. And listen, folk have snuck in and deceivers have come in, and a lot of folk just have not known the Word of God good enough and well enough and that how to fight deception. You cannot fight deception except one way, and that is with the truth. And so you have to know the truth and how to fight deception. Boy, I don't know how we got there, but ain't that good. And so in the verse that I read, it was good, amen, whether you think so or not, it was good. In verse 5, he said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete," and here's what he said, "that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting." And I want to deal with that today on setting some things in order. Now that word wanting means lacking or needing. You know, when you want something, you're lacking it. Not necessarily a want, as in you desire to have something, but if something is wanting, then it is absent or deficient or slack in what is needed, if you let me say that. Let me say today that our nation is wanting some things, ain't it? Amen. I mean, it's slack. It is deficient in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's deficient in more. You know, we're just deficient in good morals, ain't we? Amen. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Now, come on and help the preacher out. You know, if you read in the book of Matthew, I noticed something again in Sunday school. When Brother Jeff got done reading he got down to the Great Commission there in Matthew 28, where it talks about, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And those were words in red. But then Matthew said, amen. And so that just helps it out. Amen. So help the preacher out today. Amen. Let me say this, that we're deficient, we're wanting in more good morals. Folks, morals have been corrupt. We're even deficient in common sense, ain't we? I mean, we see that from the government down. It only takes common sense to run our nation. Ain't nobody up there, it seems, that's got any. Amen. But I'm going to get on my soapbox if I ain't careful. But he talks about getting things in order. And order means having a methodical arrangement of things to be in its proper state, to be established mode of proceeding or a precept or a command or rule. Now, believe it or not, if you look at our communion table, there's three items, more than three, but we'll use the word candles. There's three candles, but everything is in order. There is a reason the Bible is over here and the candles are over here. The Bible, if you remember, used to be over here and the candles were over here. Y'all don't remember that, do you? Because we moved order. Beverly does, but we moved order on things. And you know why we moved order? And I'm going to tell you, when Brother Jeff asked me to do this, my OCD kicked in, and boy, I bet almost didn't want to do it. I don't like change. You know, the Bible said meddle not with them given to change, you know. And he wanted to move it because the Bible would show up better in the videos if it was over here and compared to over here. I thought that's a good reason to change it, amen? We want folk to know that we stand on the Bible. But there is an order. You say, well, who set that order? Well, we did. You know, there's some things you get to set order to. You know, there's certain things you get to be in control of because it's you and it's yours. And you get to make some decisions about some things. Do you know that our church has order to it? I mean, our service had order to it this morning. We got up and sung a song. I got up and done announcements. And then we come back and sung some more. And now we're going to preach. That's an order. That's a methodical arrangement on how we do things. I like order. Because without order, you have chaos. And chaos is just horrible. And that's why our nation is in the shape that it's in, because it lacks order. And you remember the judge, you know, when things would get out of control in the courtroom, he'd slam his gavel and say, what? Order in the court. We have an order. I went to a wedding yesterday, and everything had order to it in that wedding. The bridesmaids come in at a certain time. The groomsmen come in. The groom was there. He was a husband eventually. Amen. And the groom was there. And then the bride came in and everything was in order. Somebody had to set the order. Are you following what I'm talking about? So I'm going to get somewhere this morning. Can I tell you that God is a God of order? You look in the book of Exodus chapter 26 as he's talking about setting forth the tabernacle. And he said, two sinners shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. And so God had a plan for those boards even. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, as Hezekiah was getting things back to God when he took over as king. And it comes down, I believe, to one of the very last verses in 2 Chronicles 29. And he has reestablished worship. He has opened the doors of the temple. The Bible said, and the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. God had an order even to his worship service that was being performed. God is a God of order. He said, let everything be done decently and in order. We see everything. Even our solar system has an order. Do you realize that during the Great Tribulation period, that thing's going to get out of order? It's going to be in chaos during that time. But God has a God of order. He is a God of order. Now, he told Titus right here, he said that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Now let me say whether, and I'm going to deal with these things, but whether it is in your home or whether it is in this church, whether it's in your personal life, God has some order for those things. And today let me say that number one, first of all, it takes an effort to set things in order and to keep them in order. Now let me say that God holds our solar system in order. You know, the old picture used to be of Atlas holding the earth up on his back, and he was straining up under the lift of the earth. You know, Atlas ain't holding us. Amen. God's got us in place. And so, listen, it's not really an effort for God to do that. He spoke the world into existence, and he holds, we're framed here by the Word of God, and we're kept by the Word of God. Can I tell you that this book is a book of order? Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, and if any man hungers, he's ending up chapter 11 about the Lord's Supper. He said, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And he said, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Now, the church at Corinth had a problem with order. I mean, they were out of order. There was things going on in the church at Corinth that had to be set in order. Now, Paul said, when I come, I'm going to set it in order. Now, you know, when we make the effort to set things in order, we got to know the order, don't we? Whether it's in your home, whether it's in this church, whatever it may be, you need to know what God wants out of you personally, what God wants out of your home, what God wants out of this church. We got to know that. I have to know that, what God wants out of this church. You know that He put me here to pastor it, didn't He? I mean, there's an order to this church. I mean, Jesus Christ, the head of the church. I mean, He is the head of the church, and I'm the under-shepherd. I think a lot of men take that job a little too lightly. I mean, I'm just not the preacher here. You want to call me preacher? That's fine. I like that terminology. Call me pastor? That's fine. I'm good with that. But listen, He put me here to lead this church. And there is an order in leading that. Boy, I'm getting way ahead of myself. But you got to know the order. Listen, the order that we find for everything is in this book. Would you agree to that? That everything that you need and that you desire can be found in the book that I'm holding in my hand. You know how to raise your children? In this book. You don't know how that I need to run this church and how you need to come to church and be part of this church and in this book. I believe that everything is set forth in this book. There's principles set forth. There's doctrine set forth in this book. But we have to make an effort to know the order. He told Titus, he said, when you get there, he said, I let you there, not when you get there, but I let you there that you need to set in order the things that are wanting. There must be an effort to actually realize when things are out of order. When it's heading in the wrong direction. I like to, you know, let me say this morning, some of you all are looking a little worried. Now, as far as I know, there's nothing headed for chaos around here. Now, I'm waiting for the shoe to fall now. Now, but as far as I know, We're trying to get it straightened up and do right and follow the Lord, but I don't know of any major trouble. So I'm not preaching on that because I know if you know of any major trouble coming, you let me know after service. Amen. I will head it off. I will do the effort to set it in order. I really will. I hate trouble. You can ask my wife. I hate trouble and I hate chaos and I hate drama. I hate all of them. But listen, he said that you're going to have to set an order. So to do that, you have to know the order. You got to make the effort to know what needs to be done and then implement it. It's like setting your house in order. You know, he told Hezekiah over there, and my outline's gone. He told Hezekiah over there at one point, he told him, he said, you'll not live but die. And he said, you need to set your house in order. Now, I know that meant to get things ready. You're dying. I understand that. But you want to know how to set your house in order? This book. But you have to know that it needs to be in order. You have to make the effort to get it in order. You have to drive at it and strive at it. Sometimes it's easy to get things in order. Do you know that? It's easy. You know what needs to be done. You go do it, and it's done. For you all that have employees under you, you delegate authority and you tell them to do this, this, and this. You get it done in order. My wife has to prioritize her work sometimes to figure out what is the most important to the least important. That's an order. She sets it in order of what she has to do. And so you do that, and then you get it in order, and then you work at it until you get to where it needs to be. Sometimes you already know that. Whether it is in your home or in this church or on the job or whatever it may be, you know what you need to do. You just have to go do it. Now, sometimes you know what to do, but doing it is not as always easy as going and doing it. Sometimes to fix your home or to fix this church when things get a little sideways, you know what needs to happen, but making it happen is sometimes a little harder than you think. And what I mean by that, again, I go back to Sunday school. That was a good lesson. He talked about the tires being sowed among the wheat. They wanted to go pull the tires up. Well, that wasn't the order that the man who owned the house said to do it. He said, let them grow up and together, and then you can separate them at the harvest. There's been times I wanted to pull tires, or what I perceived to be tires. And you know what will happen inevitably when you pull tires up and you don't let them show their suit? You know, it's, as Brother Jeff was teaching this morning, I thought about all those mornings that my grandmother took us kids down to the garden. And she had two garden spots. One was on the lower side of the house, and the other was across the road next to the backer patch. And I can remember going down through, that's where she kept most her corn at. And I can remember when corn would come up, and they'd put a hoe in our hand and say, "Hoe the Johnson grass out." Now, to a feller that's 6, 7, 8 years old, I didn't need no hoe in my hand. Amen. And tell you to hoe the Johnson grass out. I didn't know the difference between Johnson grass and that little corn that jumped up there. It all looked the same to me. And a man could hoe down a good row of corn if he ain't careful. I didn't say I'd done that. I just said you could. Sometimes you know what to do, but you're going to have to put forth an effort to make it happen. Sometimes it's just not as easy as saying, "I'm going to do this," and then go do it. Sometimes when you're dealing with people, not everybody sees it like the Bible sees it. Not everybody sees it like you see it. And try to get things in order and doing right. It may not be so easy. Sometimes you get some pushback on some things, and it may not be so easy. I believe Eli, if you look in the book of 1 Samuel, I really believe he knew what to do. I mean, as a matter of fact, he told his sons over at one time, "Well, take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Samuel. Let me see if I can find this real quick. Look in the book of 1 Samuel. His sons were wicked boys, and they served in the tabernacle. If you look in, if you look in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible said, "Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord, but yet they served in the tabernacle." But yet, if you come over, I believe, in the same chapter, and look in verse 27 of 1 Samuel 2, "And there came a man of God unto Eli." Now, let me park right here and say something. And it took me a long time to understand and learn this as a preacher, but your name don't have to be on the fly. You know that there's plenty of times in the Bible that all the Bible says about the man of God don't tell you his name. It just told you what he was. God didn't want you to know his name. God, you know, the world don't have to know who we are. They just need to know whose we are this morning. "And said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people?" So Eli, God comes to him and he says, "I made your people," talking about the lineage of Aaron, the tribe of the Levites, and then the lineage of Aaron to be the priest. And he said, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice?" In verse 30, he said, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house." And you can read the rest of the damage and the judgment that's going to happen to Eli. But you notice what God told him right there. What did he say? He said, "Thou honorest what?" He said, you honor your sons. At one point, he said, you honor your sons more than you honor me. He said, "And honorest thy sons above me." His order was wrong, wasn't it? God had already warned him. If you go back and you look, you'll find that God had already warned Eli. And Eli set his order in place, and he put his sons before he put God. The tabernacle was messed up. Church. His house was messed up. Things was in chaos. People hated coming to the house of God because they were robbing them when they come. If you look back in the earlier part of the chapter, somewhere around verse 15. And he would not make an effort to set things in order. But all he ever said was, boys, you know that ain't right to do. And that's all he ever said. And so it cost Eli in the end. It cost Eli his two boys, and it cost him his own life. Now, I'm talking about having an order that God sets forth. Sometimes, let me say this before I move on. Sometimes you can't set in order things because people won't let you. I think the problem was with Eli that he just wouldn't try hard enough. Because God knew. God said, you honor your sons more than you honor me. You care more about them than you do me. Well, you see that happen today. You see moms and dads care more about their children than they do God. You see children care more about what mama and papa says than God says. Now, I hope mama and papa's right, but I'm going to tell you, they ain't always going to be right. Not always going to be right. You go back and you look in the Old Testament again and you look back. You remember the man of God? That's all it says. The man of God come over here to prophesy against the altar, against Jeroboam. And you remember as Jeroboam reached his arm out against the man of God and said, get him and put him in jail. Basically is what he said. Capture him. And his arm shriveled up. It dried up. And he entreated the man of God to pray for him, that God would restore his arm, and so he did. And so then Jeroboam said this, why don't you go home and eat with me, and I will give you a reward. And he said, God said for me not to go back the way that I came, nor to stop and eat or drink bread in this place. All right. So the man goes on about his business. He gets out there a little piece, and as he's going, these two sons of the prophet go home and tell their dad, who's an old prophet, said, hey, let me tell you what happened down in Samaria today. And they tell him. And so, which way did he go, the old prophet says. And so the old prophet, he gets on his donkey, and he takes off after the young prophet. I'm going somewhere, stay with me. And so he finally finds him sitting under a tree resting. I don't know if he's eating. I have to go back and look at that. But he says, why don't you come back home with me? The old prophet did. And that young prophet told him, he said, neither shall I go back the way that I came, nor shall I eat and drink bread in this, drink or eat bread in this place. And then the old prophet said this. He said, an angel of the Lord hath appeared unto me, telling you to come back. But then the Bible said this, but he lied to him. Now, I'm going to tell you this. He cost that young prophet his life. Because they sat down to eat lunch that day, and that old prophet began to prophesy. God moved on him and began to prophesy and tell that young prophet, you shouldn't have come back. I'm not telling you not to listen to Mama and Papa. I'm telling you to listen to the Word of God. And if they're giving you the Word of God, then listen to them. At all costs, listen to them. But if it's opposite of the Word of God, then don't listen. Pay attention to the Word of God. So there has to be an effort set forth. Sometimes it's hard to do what needs to be done, but you still need to do it. Sometimes folk are not going to understand why you have to do what you have to do, but if you've got the Word of God, then begin to set things in order. What needs to be set in order? Church needs to be in order. I like having church in order when I come. Does that mean we plan everything? No, that ain't what I'm talking about. Plan everything, because if you ain't careful, you'll plan God out of the service. Now, I don't believe that's the kind of order that God is talking about, but I'm talking about having people where they belong and in positions and dealing with things, situations that need to be dealt with when they need to be dealt with. Believe it or not, I hate confrontation. And the older I get, the worse I hate it. I like things to go smoothly. I like smooth things. But I'm not going to, how can I put this? I'm not going to sacrifice what's right just to keep things smooth. I can tell you church after church that has happened to. They have sacrificed the order that should have been kept, setting in order the things that are wanting. You remember what he said? You remember what he told him right there in the book of Titus? He said, you set in order the things that are wanting. And the very first thing he told him to set in order was the pastor. He told him how to ordain, who to look for, and who to ordain and that for that position so that they might teach and keep deception away. I mean, there's a reason God wrote everything the way that He wrote it and in the order that He wrote it. You know, when you see a list of things in the Bible, you might want to take notice of why they're in the order that they're in. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Reckon why He started with love first. You say, well, they're all the same. Well, they're the fruit of the Spirit, but I really believe He put love there for a reason. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Why did He put them in the order that He put them in? Well, it wasn't haphazardly. The very first fruit that we should bear out as a Christian is love. Is it not? And in the love of God that's in our life, you'll find the joy of God, love, joy, and peace. You'll find those things. Things have to have an order to it. Church has to have an order to it. People being in the positions that they belong in. Dealing with situations. Listen, we're just people. We're imperfect people. And we are, am I making sense to y'all this morning? Am I helping y'all? Help me out now. Help me out now. Listen, I'm just wanting to get you to understand that He said set in order. Sometimes there's things that get out of order that you just got to take the bull by the horns and put them back in place. And when you're the one doing the putting back in order, especially when you're dealing with people, you don't really like being the one to be putting order in your place. I never have. If sin gets into the church, then it's got to be dealt with. You know, Joshua had to deal with it in the Old Testament, didn't he, with Achan? You remember that? He went out when they took Jericho and the walls fell down, and they went in and he found that gold and silver and that good Babylonian garment, and he took it and he hid it in his tent. You remember that? It cost them, didn't it? God said, don't take anything out of Jericho when you go in. Put it all in the treasure in the store of the Lord, and don't let nobody take anything. Come to find out, Achan took some stuff and hid it. He said, when I saw them, always got them in trouble, didn't it? Eve saw that the tree was good for fruit to make one wise. David saw Bathsheba washing herself, got him in trouble. And Achan saw that good Babylonian garment and the gold and silver, got him in trouble every time. That's what we see. So Joshua had to deal with that sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when fornication was taking place in the church, Paul had to deal with that, didn't he? The church wasn't going to deal with it. He expected the church to deal. He expected the pastor of the church and the church to deal with that sin, yet they had not done that. So he was going to set things in order. When things are left out of order, it falls into chaos and it breeds more and more chaos. It becomes more and more chaotic when things are out of order. The further you let it go, the worse it gets, ain't it? You say, well, preacher, everything's in order here at the church. Everything's in order at my house. I hope so. Let me ask you something. Just any of you. And I'll ask you mom and dads too. But if I, as your pastor, saw something wrong in your children, would you want me to tell you? Even though you may not agree with how I feel, but if I can show you in the Bible, would you want me to tell you if I seen your children headed down the wrong path? Now sitting here this morning, that's a pretty easy question for you to answer. But now you're talking about somebody coming to you and saying, hey, your child is headed down the wrong path. You're their parents that are supposed to be teaching them right. So now somebody's coming to you and telling you that you ain't doing your job exactly right. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to hear either. Hey, things ain't exactly right here. We need to tune it up a little notch or two. You know, you can only do so much with your children until they get so old that you can't do nothing with them. You say, what do you mean, preacher? If you come back and you look in Proverbs 19, and like I say, this thing's just gone. He said, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You've only got a certain amount of time and a certain window to raise your children, to correct your children, train your children, and get them ready to go out in the world without you. I watched a young lady get married yesterday. I asked her daddy, probably back when she was just 10, 11, or 12 years old. She's 20 now, 21, 20, I think, and got married yesterday. And we had a conversation. I said, how do you do that? I said, how do you prepare to let your children go? And she might have been 16, I don't remember, but she was getting on up in age. And he said, the only thing I can tell you is that we're trying to raise her right and train her right and do the best that we can. And then hope that she remembers what we've trained her with. I thought that's pretty good. Now you got to train them right, but there comes a time that you're going to have to cut them loose and hope that they get their order right in their life. And by the way, they're not going to get it right all the time. And so you're there to help them. You're there to help them. We got it right all the time. I like to think I got it right all the time. But every now and again, I'll mess it up. I was waiting on my wife's shout right there. Sometimes fixing things in the church may be as simple as me teaching on it or preaching on it. And it'll fix itself. Sometimes it'll be as simple as me preaching or teaching on it, and you'll fix it in your home, whatever may be wrong. Or the Sunday school teacher may teach on it. It don't have to be me, but God will help you with that. And you'll just fix whatever might be wrong. You know, I don't have to do nothing with it. God will help you. You'll fix it. But church needs order to it. It has to have a leader. It has to have a pastor. And then, listen, it's the pastor and leadership and the church. And God set it up that way. But you know that your home needs order too. You know the problem we've got today in our nation and in our world is that home is doing without order. And homes are in chaos and they're messed up and they're turned upside down because there's no order in it. I mean, if you go back and you look at Scripture and all this could be preached in a message on its own. I'm just hitting the hot spots. But listen, home needs order. I mean, where the husband is the head of the wife and wife the head of the children, and the husband is to love his wife and she is to be submissive and reverence her husband. And I mean, the children are to be obedient. So you're wanting the perfect home. No, that's the order God laid out in Scripture. Go back and read it. Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6. That's how God laid it out. It ain't that I'm wanting a perfect home. Yeah, I do want a perfect home. Oh, I'd love to have a perfect home. Wouldn't you love to have a perfect home? And you know, when you lead and guide your home on the Word of God, it'll be good, friend. It'll be good when men and women and children follow the Word of God. Hey, but you got to put forth the effort to do it. He said, set in things order that are wanting. Those things that are wanting, he said, set them in order. 1 Peter chapter 3, as he's talking about the husband and the wife, he said, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, talking about their wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. He didn't say dishonor. He said honor her. He said giving honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together, the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So if a man does not honor his wife correctly, then does that hinder his prayers? I think so. He said, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. But then he said this, finally, and I know that he was talking to the church, but listen, it works in the home. He said, be ye all of one mind. You know, things will get set in order a whole lot easier when everybody's of the same mind. But when everybody's on the same plan, or the same page. Have you ever heard Brother Jeff tell you to open to this page, but you thought he said another page? And then we start playing the song, and he starts singing, and you're looking at it, and that's not the same song. Have I ever told you to go one place in the Bible, and I started reading in another place? Now, in 19 and a half years, I'm sure I've done that. Sister Kathy, I just ain't that perfect. I'm sure that I've misread that started in the wrong verse. Might have been in the right chapter, Zeke, but I've started in the wrong verse. Things were out of order, wasn't they? You know, when home gets out of order, it's a mess. Home ought to be a happy place, shouldn't it? And I don't like using this word a whole lot while I'm preaching, but I think home ought to be a fun place. I think it ought to be fun at your house. I think your house ought to have rules. I think it should be set out. Things should be in order. But I think it ought to be fun to live at your house. I think it ought to be fun to live at my house. I hope it is. But you put it in order. Home ought to be in order. There's an order to the husband and the wife, the mom and dad and the children and all these things. Each has a job to do. Each has a position. What about in your personal life? I'm going to be here all day if I don't move on. What about in your personal life? There should be an order in adding to serving God. You should read your Bible. You should have prayer time. What's out of order in our lives? You know, if rebellion slips in or pridefulness slips in, boy, it's out of order, ain't it? There has to be a willingness to see the situation, and then putting forth the effort, the willingness to do those things. Sometimes it's not going to be easy. Sometimes folk ain't going to want to fix what's wrong. Sometimes we need to be careful about how we try to set things in order. People may not understand the way that you understand, the way that you see. And what I'm saying is this I run into years ago. In that starting to pastor, not everybody in here is on the same spiritual plane. Not everybody understands the Bible at the same rate and the same speed. Not everybody has the same growth process. You understand what I'm saying? These two boys sitting down here, they don't understand things like their mom and daddy understands things. Teenagers certainly don't understand things like they should. Sometimes pridefulness and rebellion sets in. But you have to be willing to. Sometimes it's not going to be easy. This thing's been scattered this morning, but I want you to understand something. It costs when things get out of order. You know, there is a payday to setting things in order. Boy, it makes for a peaceful day and a good day. And not that me and my wife don't have a row every now and again, but man, it's mostly peaceful at our house. I like peacefulness. Why? Things are in order at our house. We try to keep them in order. But it costs when things get out of order. King Uzziah, if you look in 2 Chronicles 26, his heart got lifted up. God had blessed him. His heart got lifted up. And he went into the temple and began to offer a sacrifice and have that censer in his hand that had the smoke in it. And the priest went in after him and was going to remove him. And the Bible says that he got wroth with him. And while he was in there being wroth, he was out of his place, by the way. He was out of order. God struck him with leprosy. If you look in 1 Samuel chapter 13, you'll find that King Saul kind of done the same thing. They were fixing to go to battle and Samuel had not come. And so he forced himself, the Bible said, or Saul did, he forced himself in that to go in there to perform the sacrifice. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, as Samuel came, therefore said I, talking about Saul here, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. It wasn't his place. Sometimes people get in a place where they don't belong. They get out of order, and then they do foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. And then he said this, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. You know the sad part right there was, he said, look, Samuel did. He said, Saul, you knew what the commandment was, but yet you didn't do it. You done wrong. I'm determined that most of the time, we know what the order's supposed to be. We choose not to. We just choose not to. It's easier not to. We don't have to deal with it. We don't have to battle with it. Listen, I've done it in this church. I've put things off for the fact of worrying about how people were going to respond. And in the end of it all, most of the time, they responded about like I figured they were going to respond. And I worried myself to death and put it off and dealt with it and tried to be easy with it. Sometimes you need to be. But sometimes the inevitable is just going to happen. And it's going to be what it's going to be. And Samuel just walked up to Saul and said, you have done foolishly right here. Sometimes you've got to get it in order, friend. I don't know how your house is. I don't know how your life is. I've been very vague on some things this morning. But he told Titus, he said that thou should have set in order the things that are wanting. Sometimes there's some things wanting in our life. Let's bow our heads this morning.